Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 23. 2 Chronicles, chapter 23. We'll read verses 16 through 21 together. We'll read this passage responsively. 2 Chronicles, chapter 23, verses 16 through 21. Second Chronicles chapter 23 verses 16 through 21. And Jehoiada made a covenant between him and between all the people and between the king that they should be in the Lord, be the Lord's people. Then all the people went to the house of Baal and break it down, and break his altars and his images in pieces, and slew Matan, the priest of Baal, before the altars. And Jehoiada appointed the offices of the house of the Lord by the hand of the priests, the Levites, whom David had distributed in the house of the Lord, to offer the burnt offerings of the Lord, as it is written in the law of Moses, with rejoicing and with singing, as it was ordained by David. And he set the porters at the gates of the house of the Lord, that none which was unclean in anything should enter in. And he took the captains of hundreds, and the nobles, and the governors of the people, and all the people of the land, and brought down the king from the house of the Lord. And they came through the high gate into the king's house, and set the king upon the throne of the kingdom. And all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was quiet, after that they had slain Athaliah with the sword. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our church. Thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit here. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. We're a needy people. We're a sinful people. And Lord, we're in desperate need of you changing our hearts and our lives and our thinking. So please do that today. May our hearts be open. May our ears be receptive, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This morning I will preach a sermon to you called Jehoiada's Revival. Jehoiada's Revival. Our church has been in a perpetual revival for the last 4 years. If you are a guest here this morning, it would be hard for us to describe to you what God has been doing in this place. Today's sermon is about the revival that was in Jehoiada's day. Jehoiada is a man of the Old Testament. Now, may I say to you, though, we have been in a revival here for the last 4 years. Do you know that you may be the member of a church that is experiencing revival, but you are not personally having revival? Now, God wants you to be a part of that revival, not by just setting in on it, but He wants you to experience personal revival in your life. Are you setting in a revival, but you're not a part of it? Are you merely a spectator that watches it happen, and it passes by your eyes, but it does not pass into your heart? Are you setting in this church, but you're really not a part of its revival? Oh, but wait. Is your husband experiencing revival in his life, but as a wife, you're not experiencing it? Is your wife experiencing revival, but you're being left behind? You are not caring for revival in your heart, sir. Hey, young people, are mom and dad excited about the things of the Lord? Have you seen revival in your mom and dad's life, but yet in your heart, teenager, in your heart, young man, young lady, is it mom and dad are experiencing a revival, but you're not? Hey, parents, and I watch this happen all the time. Are your young people excited for God? Are they experiencing revival? But as parents, as a mom or a dad, you're not? Let me tell you something that happens so often. Young people get around the fiery things of God and they want to serve God. And they go home and they want to serve God and they're excited about it. Mom and dad will pour cold water on a child's revival. You watch. There will be people who will pull their children away from this church and away from our school. I'll tell you why. Because they don't want their kids fired up for God. Oh, my, oh, my. Hey, are you sitting in the midst of revival, but yet you're not experiencing it? Your church is having revival, but not you. Your husband's having revival, but not you. Your wife is having revival, but not you. Your parents are having revival, but not you. Your Sunday school class is having a revival, but not you. Your bus route is on fire for God, but not you. You just ride it. Your school, Martinburg Christian Academy. You see, one of the great things about what's happening here is the revival in our school. There's revival in the Christian school as well. It's a ministry of the church. It's not just an educational institution. It is a ministry of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. And we're having revival. But what about you? What about you? Are you having revival? Oh my, my, oh my. Let this sermon help you today. This passage in 2 Chronicles 23 is all about Jehoiada's revival. Let me tell you something about this revival, but I want to go just prior to the revival. And I want to show you a little bit about what a mess these people were in before this revival started in Jehoiada's day. If we took the time to read the story from 2 Kings chapter 11, you would find that there was a king. His name was Ahaziah. Ahaziah was running the country. He had a mother whose name was Athaliah. Now, Ahaziah, the king, dies. As a result of that, Athaliah, his mother, she really wanted to take over. She really wanted power in the kingdom. Get this, she has all of her grandbabies murdered. Ahaziah's children are murdered by Ahaziah's mama. Mama murders her grandkids. Why? Mama wanted to be in control. She wanted to control the kingdom. And you see, of course, if the king dies, one of his boys take over. She didn't want that. She wanted to be in control. Now, what I'm doing is I'm showing you what a mess this group of people are in right before Jehoiada's revival. And so, she wanted power. She has her own grandbaby slaughtered. Some of you grandmas, think about that for a second. How could anybody become so wicked to want to hurt their own grandbabies? How could it happen? Well, what happened is one of the dead kings, he had a sister. Ahaziah had a sister. And his sister grabbed one of his babies. That baby's name was Joash. And his sister hid baby Joash. And Athaliah did not get to murder Joash. They hid him in the house of God. That's the best place to hide your kids. Get them where they're safe, in the house of God. They'll pull them out of the house of God. Get them in the house of God where they'll be safe. So she hides little Joash. Why? Grandma was trying to slaughter all the kids because Grandma wanted to be in control. Well, they hid him there for 6 years. 6 years. Athaliah leads the people, and boy, do they get wicked. And actually, well, of course, look at how she is. It becomes more and more wicked. And the country is in a spiritual mess because of this lady. She leads them further and further away from God. Well, she ends up getting put to death. Athaliah dies. Wicked grandma dies. And suddenly, they pull Joash out and say, "We've got a king. God gave us a king." And little Joash is made king. About that time, Jehoiada, the priest, the preacher of that time, he helps to make sure Joash gets where he needs to be. And then Jehoiada says, "It's time to clean this mess up. We've got to get the people back to God. We've got to get the leadership, that's little Joash, where he's supposed to be, and we got to clean this mess up. We got to clean the church up, and we got to clean the country up." And between Joash and Jehoiada, a great revival breaks out. Now, let me ask you a question. Are you sitting in the midst of a revival, but yet you're not a part of it? Are you getting left behind? Oh, don't let that happen to you. Are you backslidden? Hey, Did you tinker with becoming a part of the revival around here, but now you're back on the wayside? It was a little glamorous to you for, you know, a few weeks, a few months, but now it's old hat to you, and you're back to your same lax way of doing things and your uninvolvement and sitting in your chair of criticism as it goes on. If that happened to you, oh, don't let that happen to you. Let's examine the revival of Jehoiada, and I think if we will, you and I can protect ourselves to make sure that we stay a part of the revival, or for those that have never become a part of the revival, you get involved and you become a part of the revival. So let me show you, if I could, Brother Brad, I'm going to use this microphone for a while. Let me show you, please, the process through which Jehoiada put both himself and the people of that day so that they could experience what we call Jehoiada's revival. First of all, Jehoiada decided that he was totally the Lord's. He said, he made a decision, I am deciding that I belong totally to God. Listen to this verse. 2 Chronicles 23:16, it says, and Jehoiada made a covenant between him and between all the people and between the king that they should be the Lord's people. Jehoiada said, there's one thing we're going to have to do here. If we're going to have revival, we've all got to decide. We don't belong to ourselves. We are God's people. And he's not just talking about being born again. He's talking about God owns me from the time I wake up in the morning till the time I go to bed at night. And he owns me all the time that I'm asleep in between. He decided for himself. He said, I belong 100% to God. And my friend, you will not experience true revival in your life until you decide you belong to God. And we're not just talking about you're saved. We're talking about you're saved and you're setting your entire life aside or apart to say, God, I'm not only want to go to heaven, I want to serve you every minute of every day from now until the day I get to heaven. Jehoiada decided, I belong to the Lord. He decided it for himself. And the Bible says here, and Jehoiada made a covenant between him and between all the people. He told everybody. He said, I belong to the Lord. He said, we're going to have revival around here. I've got to make the decision and show to you that I belong to the Lord. It was a time of total surrender. He not only did that, the Bible says here, he made this covenant between him and the people and between him and the king. He even said, he told the leadership in his life, he said, I belong to God. He told his friends in his life, I belong to God. Hey, let me ask you a question. Are you a full-time or a part-time Christian? Are you a one-day-a-week Christian or a seven-day-a-week Christian? Hey, are you a three-hour Christian or a 24-hour-a-day Christian? You say 3 hours. Yeah, you'll put about 3 hours in here on a Sunday. You just serve God for 3 hours a week. Really serving Him is not coming in here and sitting and listening to me. But hey, Jehoiada said, I belong lock, stock, and barrel to God 24 hours a day. Hey, 7 days a week, 52 weeks out of the year, 365 days a year, and an extra day for a leap year. Yeah. So I'm in. He actually, hey, then this guy, he gets on fire for God. He said, I belong to God. And then the Bible says that he starts telling everybody, he said, and not only do I belong to God, you need to be reminded, you belong to God too. And he tells them, you need to surrender totally to God. He immediately starts leading others to follow the Lord fully, wholly, totally. He even goes to the king and says, King, you're God too. So he started out, and he got the revival started right here in his heart. He said, as of this day, I am 100% God. And God gets the fire burning down in his heart. And then he goes to all of his friends and he said, and you better remember, you're supposed to belong to God too. And he gets so stoked up, so fired up, so courageous, he goes to the king and said, hey, king, don't you forget, I belong to God. These people belong to God. But king, you belong to God too. Oh my. Hey, do all the people around you know that you are 100% God's? Let
tell you how some of you could clean your life up a little bit at work. If at work, everybody knew you were 100% God's. Totally God's. You were all God's. You belong to God. Hey, does your family know you're 100% for God? Does your family know that? Does your boss know that? Do your friends know that? Do your workmates know that? Let me tell you something. When you meet someone new, if I were you, I would pull God into the conversation immediately. Because when you meet someone new, they could have the tendency to pull you away from God. You better stake the claim in their mind immediately that you are God's. You're a Christian. You're born again. And if you're going to be friends with them, fine and dandy. But you better make sure they know whose you are. You know something? All other decisions in the Christian life become very easy if you have made the decision you are 100% God's. The thing that you fight with most of the time in your life is not giving Him all of you. It's not all the other issues that I preach. Those are not the issues. The issues are you decide how much of you you're going to give. Some give 50% of themselves. Some give 60, some 70, some 80. Some of you are at 90% and say, God, you can have everything but this one area of my life. And it is not the issue of that area that is the issue. It is the issue that you have not given God your whole life. The issues make you mad at me. But God is disappointed in you when you decide you'll only give Him half of you. The issue is very petty. It is this full surrender of the heart that is the big issue. And so Jehoiada, he said to start this revival, he said, I belong to God 100%. And after he made that decision for himself, he told his friends, you better remember you belong to God. He even said to the king, you better remember you belong to God. Listen, I'll promise you, some of you that struggle with little issues about what the church teaches, you would not struggle with those issues near as much if you stop struggling with the issue of who do you belong to and give Him 100% of your heart from the time you wake up in the morning until 24 hours later when you wake up again. Give Him all of you. Secondly, Jehoiada removed anything from his life that would hinder him from being in total surrender to God. Listen to this. 2 Chronicles 23:17, it says, then all the people went to the house of Baal and break it down and break his altars and his images in pieces and slew Mathan, the priest of Baal, before the altars. I want you to notice something here. Jehoiada starts removing anything that would hinder the revival that he wants to be a part of. He went to the house of Baal. The Bible says they break it down. They went to a bad place and they tore the bad place down. Listen, you will not have the kind of revival you're supposed to have unless you start changing where you go. They went there and tore it down not to go and enjoy it. They went to some place that was a bad place and said, that's a bad place and we're going to destroy it. They're eliminating this place from where they might go. You can tell when you're a part of the revival because you start changing where you go. It says they break down the altars in this place. The altar is a place of sacrifice. But this was a wicked place, and this wicked place had a place of sacrifice. But let me tell you something. If we break down the altars in our life, it is those things that we sacrifice ourselves to, but we shouldn't. But we shouldn't. You know something? We better be very, very careful that there are some things that are not sinful, but they will keep us from serving God. Hey, I'm for a fella playing on a softball team. I'm glad for you to do so. But I'd be careful playing on a softball team that keeps you out of church. That's not unreasonable. Sounds like something a preacher would say, if you've got a backbone at all.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I'm not against a guy hunting. In fact, I'm against a guy not. But anybody that decides to go hunting instead of coming to church, now, there's something wrong with that. Hey, you know, there are so many things that can hinder us. We sacrifice our time and our lives to it. But if they keep us from God, then we need to remove that sacrifice. If you want to watch some TV, now, the TV's full of garbage. No, I can't say that 100% of everything on the television is wicked and bad, but it sure is a hog trough of slop. But the thought that anybody would not serve God because they're busy watching TV, now there's a problem with that. I hope you take good care of your yard, your home. You ought to. You're a representative of Jesus Christ. You ought to be clean, and you ought to be neat. But I know people that will stay home and groom their yard instead of come to church. You have turned your grass into an idol. You are sacrificing your time. Hey, now, you mow your yard in between the services? Fantastic. I think you ought to. But be careful now that we do not sacrifice to things that would keep us away from God. But not only that, think of the wicked places that we can go. The bars, the casinos, the places that are wicked and vile. The Bible even says that they take the images in the house of Baal and they break them to pieces. What actually happened here, Jehoiada, he said, I belong to the Lord 100% and I am not going to put myself in a situation where anything is going to keep me from making that decision. And he actually starts cleaning the house. He actually destroyed some things that could hold him back. They put some things in the garbage, in the trash can. Honestly, there are some of you, you need to take some things that are bad and they're at your house and you need to get rid of them because they're going to hinder you from being a part of the revival. Bible even says they slew Madden, the priest of Baal. In other words, they did away with the negative influences. And once again, you go to the wrong places, you're going to end up with the wrong people. Make sure you're with the kind of people that want to be a part of a revival. So how in the world did Jehoiada end up with a revival? Jehoiada, first of all, he said, Jehoiada's got to have revival. I am making God 100% my God all day long. Then he said to everybody else, and you ought to make him your God all day long. He went to the king and said, you ought to make him your God all day long. He said, I'm going down there to the places where we go that we should not go, and I'm going to tear the walls down, and we're going to destroy the worship place of Baal. We're going to throw a bunch of stuff down there in the trash. We're going to stop associating with that kind of stuff because I want a revival. Thirdly, Jehoiada decides to let the Word of God make all of his decisions in his life. 2 Chronicles 23:18, it says, and Jehoiada appointed the offices of the house of the Lord by the hand of the priests, the Levites, whom David had distributed in the house of the Lord, to offer the burnt offerings of the Lord, as it is written in the law of Moses. Jehoiada said, I've got to do what the Word of God tells me to do in my life. Many, many things he talks about here, appointing people into offices at the house of the Lord, and he talks about offerings and burnt offerings and all of that. But the thing that is unique here, it is pointed out specifically, it says Jehoiada did these things as it is written in the law of Moses. What's it talking about? It's talking about Jehoiada said, the Old Testament told me there are some things that I'm to do, and I'm going to let that book guide my life. Now you need to decide you're going to give yourself 100% to God. Then you need to go to the things in your life that are hindering you from having revival. You need to get rid of them, throw them in the trash. Then you need to decide from here on out, all my decisions will be made based on God's Word. He obeyed the Word of God. Your Christian life will go much easier when you let the Word of God make decisions for your life. You see, most of the decisions in my life are quite easy to make. You say, why? I don't make them. I let God make them. Some of you spend way too much time and mental anguish about how to make decisions in your life. You can do away with some of that anguish by just going to the Word of God and saying, God, tell me what to do. And let the Bible be your guide. And believe me, that book will keep your life 1,000,000 times safer than your own personal logic. You say, well, I'm a Rhodes Scholar. I don't care if you're an Alley Scholar. I don't care where you were educated. Your education will never be superior to that black book. Education does not impress me when it thinks it is superior to the Word of God. And so, Jehoiada said, I'm going to have a revival and I'm going to clean a bunch of things out and I'm going to make sure that the Word of God makes the decisions for my life. Let God's Word be your leader. That's what he meant. Not your own thinking. Not your own logic. Hey, let God's Word become your counselor. Let God's Word become your dictator. Ask yourself this question about every decision of life. What does the Word of God say about this? Oh, hey, listen, my counseling line would be so much shorter if everybody here would say, all right, what does the Bible say about this? Well, the Bible says I should not do that. I think I'll obey the Bible. Well, now, here's another decision. What does the Bible say that I should do about this? Oh, the Bible says I should do it. Well, I think I'll obey the Bible. Now, what did I hear preached from the Bible about this? Now, I think I'll do what I heard preached from the Bible about this. Let the Word of God be your counselor. Let the Word of God be your leader. Let the Word of God be your dictator. You say, I don't like that. Then you're not right with God. That book is to dictate our entire lives. Our entire lives. You say, dictator. Did you know when we get to heaven, you're not voting? Say, Brother Owens, tell me, what's your favorite kind of government? Socialism? Democracy? No democracy in heaven. It's a kingdom. You won't get any choices in heaven. You'll do what God said.
Well, who the dictator is?
God. He's God. He's the all-knowing one. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning, the begotten, the beloved, the bread, the bridegroom. He's the chief cornerstone. He's the day star. He's the elect. He's the ensign. He's the finisher of our faith. I'm talking about the God of God, the God of the universe. And you owe him that you pass every thought and every decision across his desk and say, what do you want, God? And then you obey him 100%. He should be the dictator of your life. The dictator of your life. Ask this question about every decision you make. Should I read it or should I not? Should I say it or should I not? Do we go there on vacation or should we not? Ask God. You say, well, I've seen another Christian do it. Well, that's good reasoning. So if you see, I have to be careful here. So if you see another Christian doing something wrong, you think that justifies your doing it? My kids used to say, and this is what my family's laughing about. My kids used to say, he said, well, Dad, so-and-so did it. I'll say, well, son, if so-and-so wrestles naked in the backyard, do you think that's okay for you? That's the way we are. If so-and-so eats dog gum, is that okay for you? My sin does not justify yours, nor does yours mine. It is God that sets the precedence. It is God that sets the standard. It is God that is in control the way I think, the way I walk, the way I talk, where I go, who I go with, the way I dress, the way I behave, what I listen to. It is God. And you have revival in the life of a person when they say to God, God, today I've made the decision. I am 100% yours. You can have all of me. And as a result of that, God, I'm cleaning house. I'm taking anything out of the road that might stop me from having a revival. And God, from this day forward, every decision of life will be based 100% on the Word of God. The Word of God. Then, the Bible says that Jehoiada developed a very good attitude about this change in his life. The Bible says, 2 Chronicles 23, verse 18, second part of the verse, it says that he did all of this with rejoicing, the Bible says. With rejoicing. He has just obeyed the God. He has just made a statement to everybody about it. He has just cleaned house. And at some sacrifice, you know what he's doing? He's rejoicing about the revival. I didn't say remorsing. I said rejoicing. He's rejoicing. Do you know there are people who have a bad attitude about living right? I'll do it. But I hate it. Some have a bad attitude about church. I'll go. But I'm not going to like it. Some have a bad attitude about doing good things. I'll serve you, God, but I don't have to smile while I'm doing it. I'll go down there to the church and serve God, but I plan to be miserable. That's not what happened to Jehoiada. Jehoiada said, I'm giving me 100% to God. I'm going to clean house. I'm going to clean me up. I'm going to clean everything up around me. And then every decision I make from this day forward will be based on the Word or based on the Word of God. And I'm going to be happy that it's happening. I am going to rejoice that it's happening. That's how it ought to be. He rejoiced in it's happening. Two nuns were driving down a country road. But they ran out of gas. They walked to a farmhouse and a farmer gave them some gasoline. But the only container he had to give them their gas in was an old bedpan. The nuns were happy. They took whatever they could get. And they returned to their car. As they were pouring the gasoline from the bedpan into the tank of their car, a Baptist preacher drove by. He stopped, he rolled down his window and said, ladies, I don't believe the way you believe, but I sure do respect the kind of faith you practice. You say, I don't get it, then you don't have to. We'll just move on with the sermon. You know, it wouldn't hurt some of you that are serving God. And when you got saved, you also received the potential of the joy of the Lord. It wouldn't hurt some of you to tell your face. Wouldn't hurt you to laugh every once in a while and to smile. Hey, it wouldn't hurt some of you that are serving God in an old-time religion church to start enjoying it. To start enjoying it. Well, if you're not careful, you're going to sour your kids so bad as you come here duty-bound day in and day out. Gotta serve God. Gotta serve God. Gotta serve God. Gotta serve God. Hey, if you're not careful, you're going to give your kids the impression it's not good to serve God. But I've got news for you. It is good to serve God. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to live pure. It's good to live moral. It's a happy thing to serve God. It's a happy thing to be different than this world. And if you are not, you need a revival. You need to get that revival down in your heart. Jehoiada developed a good attitude about this revival. Jehoiada's decision then affected his music. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 23:18, the third part of the verse, it says, He rejoiced and with singing. With singing. He's now singing the Lord's song. Something happened. Hey, there's not an uh-oh or a boo-boo in the Scripture. Everything is there for a reason. You're going to find out you never experienced the kind of revival God wants you to have if you don't have revival in your music. I will guarantee it. The Bible says he experienced it with singing. I think you heard him singing as they were down there pulling down the trash from prophets of Baal. They were throwing this stuff in the trash, and as he was having a revival, he was singing, I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning and his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior. Hey, and while he was doing it, I think he was singing. I think he was smiling. He was walking around saying, I've got victory in my life. I've left the world behind me, the cross before me. I have decided 100% to serve Jesus Christ. And I'm going to guarantee everybody that sits in this section, you'll never have revival in your life if you don't straighten out your music. And when you straighten out your music, you're going to get a song in your heart. You're going to get a smile in your life. But until then, you will serve him and you'll be bummed out while you do it. I can tell you, when you're experiencing a true blue revival, it'll change your music. Yeah, it'll change your music. I'll tell you why some of you started into the revival and you're right back to where you came from. You went back to the same old radio station. You pulled out some of the same old CDs and you're back in the honk-tonk of the world and you're listening to the wrong music again. And that's why some of you lost your smile. You lost your smile. I want you to smile. I like it if you smile even when I'm making you mad. I prefer that from Bob, I really do. It affected his music. I've never seen anyone experience revival without a change of music. Backslidden people stop singing. Your music works like a spiritual thermometer. It tells us whether you're hot, cold, or lukewarm with God. I'm not just talking about your singing, because you can come in here and fake your way through. I'm talking about your radio stations, your CD player at home, your tape player at home. Revival includes music and a music change. Hey, teenagers. And parents, let me tell you something. We just had a dynamic, powerful, Holy Ghost-filled youth revival. Oh, what God did. Young people, let Brother Owens tell you something. If you had revival, clean the music out. Get rid of the bad music. Why? That will be the one connection that will drive you right back into the world, even though you've had a revival and made some wonderful decisions. And parents, don't do this. Don't do this to your kids. Your kids come home all fired up about the youth revival and what God did. Don't say things like this to them. And if you have, say, honey, I'm sorry. But be careful saying, oh, well, we'll just see. Well, they just made a decision for God, Mom and Dad. Jump on the bandwagon and praise Him and thank God for them and give them a chance. Give them a chance. And young people, as your pastor and as your friend, I come to you and I tell you, I believe every decision that you just made was sincere. I believe every decision you made, I believe God was on that place. I believe God was doing something. But I beg of you on bended knee, clean up the music, because if you don't, it's going to drag you right back to where you came from. I promise you. It's a connection back to the devil, and you don't want that. You don't want that. Lack of revival is affected by a lack of godly music and the presence of ungodly music. Jehoiada's decision affected his music. So what took place in this revival? Well, I'll tell you what took place. Jehoiada decided that he was totally 100% the Lord's. Jehoiada removed anything from his life that would hinder the old-time revival. Then Jehoiada decides to let the Word of God make all of his decisions. Jehoiada then develops a good attitude about the revival that's taking place. He didn't do all the changes in his life begrudgingly. He said, I'm doing this for you, God, and with a happy spirit do I do it. Then Jehoiada said, this has affected my music, and I'm going to make sure it does. And then the Bible says Jehoiada walked guard around the revival. 2 Chronicles 23:19, it says, and he set the porters at the gates of the house of the Lord, that none which was unclean in anything should enter in. He said, I've got to protect this revival. He said, we got something good going on here. We got the people surrendering to God. We've got the people cleaning out their houses and cleaning up their lives. We've got the people making their decisions based on the Word of God. We've got the Spirit of God on our music, and we've removed the world's music, and the Holy Spirit's upon the music. Somebody's going to have to walk guard. Somebody's going to have to make sure that we keep the revival going. Somebody's got to make sure that wickedness does not enter in. Somebody's got to make sure, and every father here, may I say, to you, if you're going to have revival at home, dads have got to walk guard, walk guard, walk guard, walk guard. Watch out. The devil's going to try to ruin the revival in your home. The devil's going to try to ruin your marriage. The devil's going to try to ruin your children. Somebody's got to walk guard. What are you watching for, Brother Owens? I'm watching for the wicked one. I'm watching for influences that would destroy my marriage and destroy my kids. I'm watching for it in the church. You say, what? This is all ridiculous. Are you 100% dedicated to God? Let me tell you something. You will not be the kind of parent you need to be unless you decide to be a good parent 100% of the time. You won't be the kind of husband you could be if you don't decide to be a godly husband 100% of the time. Quit peddling, husband. Become a godly man all the time. You can't be the kind of Christian you're supposed to be unless you decide to be it all the time. And then this wouldn't sound silly to you, ridiculous and overbearing. If you consider this ridiculous and overbearing, you're gonna be surprised someday. It's not. It's for your own good. Well, guard. The Bible says they set porters around the gates of the house. They set watchmen for protection. They were keeping anything out that would dare to creep back in and destroy the revival. Now walk guard around that decision. Let no person pull you away from that decision. Again, young people from our youth revival, please listen to me. Don't let your friend pull you away from the decision. Don't let that happen. Let no family member pull you away from the revival that you're experiencing. Hey, every person in this building, don't let somebody pull you away from God. If somebody begins to pull you away so you're only 90% committed to God instead of 100, you need to politely say, I'm sorry, I belong to God, all of me. Don't let some false religion. Somebody here, you went to a church, they don't preach the gospel, they never got you saved, they were never interested in you. We get you saved. We show you what the Bible says. You say, I think I'll go back to that church. Show me the sense in that. You sat in those pews for years at that old church. They never told you about Jesus. They never got you saved. The Spirit of God never weighed heavily on you. You came here. You got fired up for God. Watch out. Your sentimental connection to a falsity may pull you right back down into the world. You say, but Brother Owens, my family, we just always went there. Every decision you make, make it based on the Word of God. And nowhere does the Bible say we ought to go to the church that my family always went to. We better go to a church that preaches the Word of God purely. 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 We've got to walk guard. We've got to make sure that nothing pulls us away. Not only that, Jehoiada walked guard around the revival. Jehoiada got right with the authorities in his life. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 23:20, and he took the captains of hundreds and the nobles and the governors of the people, all the people of the land, and brought down the king from the house of the Lord. And they came through the high gate into the king's house and set the king upon the throne of the kingdom. See, they had revival because the true king was put where he belongs, and you'll never have true revival until you put the King Jesus on the throne of your life. But not only that, this was not King Jesus, this was virtually an authority in his life. He made sure the king was on his throne. You need to make sure authority is in the proper place in your life and in your home. When you get right with God and give yourself totally to Him, you will get right with the spiritual authorities He's put in your life. Students get right with teachers. Children get right with parents. Teens get right with adult leaders. Hey, if I were not right with God, I may have to get right with you. And if you're not right with God, you may need to get right with me as the pastor of the church. Maybe you say, I feel like I owe you an apology. You don't have to give me an apology. I just like to know that in your heart you take care of it. I like to know that the things that you dislike about Brother Owens, now, if it's my personality, sure, you can keep disliking that. But if it is what I stand for from the Word of God, you better get that right. You see, Jehoiada had revival. It was a result of putting authority back where it belonged in the life of the people. People who get right with God or are right with God are right with the leadership of God. You young people, if you're getting right with God, make sure you're getting right with mom and dad too. It's a part of the process. Not only that, Jehoiada's revival affected many other people. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 23, verse 21, and all the people of the land rejoiced. All the people of the land rejoiced. A lot of people got right with God. The Bible says that all the people went down there to destroy these crummy things in Baal's temple. They all went down there. Let me tell you something. You get right with God, it's going to affect somebody. What are you waiting on? Hey, who is waiting on you to make a move to get right with God that will start a landslide of others getting right with God? Listen to this. I wrote this down earlier this morning. There are some people in this church who are not right with God. And you probably simmer a little bit right now, either under conviction or upset with me. You have so much potential. If you would get right with God, you would take the revival in this church to a new level because somebody would follow you, but they're not going to follow because you may not do what you're supposed to do. I want you to get right with God for your sake. I want you to get right with God for the church's sake. I want you to get right with God for God's sake. But let me tell you something. There is somebody that's watching you. I can tell you of a man right now in this church, if he would sell out to God. And I'm not asking you to go to the mission field. And I'm not asking you to go into evangelism. I'm not asking you to pastor church. I'm talking about 100%. You're just going to let God make all your decisions. You're going to become faithful to church and love God. Sir, if you would do it, it would start a revival in a pocket of the church that we have not been able to reach. But you're holding out. There's a lady in this church right now, I'll guarantee you, she has so much leadership, it is pathetic, and she is trying to decide whether she'll use it for me or against me. Ma'am, I would like to join forces with you. I'd like for you to get right with God, and we'll pull together, and we'll start a revival in your sector. We'll start a little revival in your family like you've never seen before. We'll save you all sorts of heartache, and God could use you. But I'm just telling you, you're either affecting them toward revival or away from it. Which is it? Which is it? Jehoiada's revival included, and you're going like this and I'm finished. Let me review here. Let me remind you of something. They needed a revival. There had to be a total surrender. A decision. 100%. I belong to God. Jehoiada then removed anything that would hinder him. Jehoiada makes the Word of God the final authority in his life. Jehoiada has a good attitude about it while it's all happening. Jehoiada then lets it affect his music and knows his music will affect the revival. Jehoiada begins to walk guard around the decision. He gets right with the authorities in his life and it affects other people. And finally, Jehoiada's revival produced peace in his life and the lives of others. 2 Chronicles 23, verse number 21, it says, "And the city was quiet." Do you remember what was going on in the city before? They were murdering grandkids. Now, we've had revival, and there's peace. It's quiet in the city. I know some people who deserve peace in their lives, but your backslidden condition is not going to allow it. Some wives could get right with God and bring peace to your husband. Some husbands could get right with God and bring peace to your wives. Some children could get right with God and bring peace to your parents. I can guarantee you, I could list for you two or three sets of parents who have cried themselves to sleep virtually every night this week because of the way their children or their teenagers are behaving. I know it. Get right with God, sir. Get right with God, young man. Let your mom have peace and quiet. Some church members could get right with God and give the preacher peace. Some family members could get right with God and bring peace to their family. Some of you search for peace. Jehoiada found it. Where'd he find it? Revival. Churches experience peace when the members give themselves totally to God. From there after, it gets real easy. Hey, are you a peacemaker? Christian schools experience peace when parents and students get right with God. The Bible says there was quiet in the city. Quiet. In the city? Not just in the homes, not just in the temple or the church. In the city! Do you know a church like this that is having revival and doing right for God? We will bring peace across the county. There are people that have certain peace because we're here. We help straighten out their families. It ought to be that way. It ought to be. People will stop warring among themselves and they'll get right with God, and then we find out the war is not between you and me or me and another person. The war is between us and the devil. And we get our eyes on the real enemy. Jehoiada's revival. the community even prospered. I had somebody say to me the other day, said, are you the pastor of Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church? I said, yes, I am. I said, you know, I know some of your folks, and they are some of the most peaceful people. I long for that. I said, well, I could help you with that right here and right now. I told them about Jesus, and they met the great peacemaker. Joy is revival. Some of you, you're sitting in the midst of revival, but you're not a part of it. Some of you were a part of it, but you sat on the sideline now, back to what you were before you tasted the revival. If you're here today and you're not saved, I welcome you to the Savior. You need to get born again. You need to make sure you're on your way to heaven. You need to get saved. We're not talking about religion now. We're talking about you understanding that you're a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin, and that is being separated from God in hell for all eternity. But Jesus Christ died for you. He was buried for you and resurrected for you, and He'd like to save you and take you to heaven someday when you die. You need to get saved. You don't need religion. You need Jesus. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed.